This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Kevin Wilkinson welcoming you to this October the 10th, 2017 edition of Prophecy Quake. Just want to welcome everybody tonight. Just want to give y'all a heads up. Maybe next week I may have a special guest on the program. Just want y'all to stay tuned and be aware of that for next week. Tonight we're going to get into global distractions and the coming war. You know, we've all seen the news lately, and we've just been overrun with just craziness that's been going on in the news. You know, we've had all of this NFL stuff where people are ranting and raving about the players taking knees and all that stuff. You've got football games, you've got college football, you've got all sorts of distractions going on in the world right now. And, you know, and especially this Las Vegas shooter thing, which is really, really taking over the news cycle. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's trying to put out some theory or what they think has happened and what's going on. You know, I talked about that in the last couple shows a little bit. You know, there's been a little more information coming out now. I saw a video today where a guy, a scientist of some sort, engineer, he did a audio analysis of the gunshots and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a second shooter. You know, and people are starting to do this. Just average, ordinary citizens are starting to take on the narrative out there, and it's just not holding water. So, you know, we have all these distractions that are sucking people away from what's really going on in the world. I want to try to get into to what's really going on in the world. And, you know, we've on this program in the past and in our Fire and Grace Church services, we have done multiple teachings on the Sixth Trumpet War and Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Daniel and all this that deals with the Sixth Trumpet War, the World War III, the war that is going to kill one third of mankind. You know, and we're racing towards that, and all of this other stuff is going on in the news, and you know, everybody's got their heads in their phones and Facebook and you know Twitter, and you know we're trying to dive into what's going on around us in our immediate circle, but we're not looking past that to what's going on around the world that's leading us straight to World War III. You know, I saw an article today, and I'll just go ahead and get into this, from Wynette News. I saw it either early this morning or late yesterday. It's an opinion piece, but it still holds a lot of truth. It says, Israel-Iran conflict in Syria reaching point of no return. The Iranian regime, it seems, isn't taking the public warnings issued by the Israeli defense establishment heads seriously and is hectically pursuing its talks with the Syrian regime, as well as patrols in search of a military airport near Damascus, which would serve as a base for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard's combat squadrons. So they're looking to put a base near Damascus. And I find that very interesting because we'll read some scripture in a minute that talks about Damascus being destroyed. And at the same time, the Iranians and Syrians are making progress in the talks for an autonomic Iranian military pier in the TARDIS port and the creation of an Iranian division on Syrian soil. Israel, however, has made it clear both to the Iranians and the Syrians, as well as to the Russians, that it will not allow any Iranian presence in Syria, especially warplanes or an Iranian pier in the TARDIS port. So, you know, the Six Trumpet War, you know, we'll read this from a PowerPoint that Pastor Dean put together a while back on this issue. And, you know, it's quite frightening, really, as to the just the prophecy, the Bible prophecy that is being played out right before our eyes. So this is Revelation 9, starting in Revelation 9, verse 13 here. You know, and we'll just read that. It says, "And this angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and jacks and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of the lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." So then we look at this map here, the Euphrates River. Euphrates River starts in Syria, runs through Iraq. It starts here where? Starts in Turkey, goes through Syria, Iraq, and then touches Iran at the bottom for about 50 miles. So four angels, four countries that the river Euphrates goes through here. So is all of this that's going on now in with Israel and Syria and Iran, is this the beginnings of what is leading up to World War III or the Six Trumpet War? I believe it is. You know, there's just no way with Iran getting involved in Syria that this doesn't have some sort of bearing on what's going on with Bible prophecy. I mean, have Iran, Russia, Syria, all in coalition together. And let me see, I'm going to pull up another article right quick. I got some of them up. Here we go. I just did a quick search for Russia, Syria, Iran, Iraq coalition. All kind of articles just talking about how this coalition has come together, and there's actually a Wikipedia article on it. It's called Russia, Syria, Iran, Iraq Coalition. I'm going to read this Wikipedia article because this bears out in Bible prophecy all of these players coming together, and we've covered this. Now, so I don't want to go back into that. I want to bring this stuff up so that you're aware of where we are in Bible prophecy and what's been happening around since we've been so distracted by news events that are brought out by globalists wanting to distract us. I mean, Antifa and all this stuff that is going on, the division that is being brought in the U.S., it's distracting us. Not to say that it's not happening, but it's just, it's taking our attention off of what is the bigger picture. So This coalition, also referred to as 4+1, in which the plus one refers to Hezbollah of Lebanon. Key, I mean, that is Hezbollah involved in this is probably one of the worst enemies of Israel that is affecting Israel at this current time. It says it is a joint intelligence sharing operation between opponents of the Islamic State of Iraq and of ISIL, with operation rooms in Syria's Damascus and Iraq's Green Zone in Baghdad. It was formed as a consequence of an agreement reached at the end of September 2015 between Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria to, quote, help and cooperate in collecting information about the terrorist Daesh group ISIL with a view to combating the advance of the group, according to the statement issued by the Iraqi Joint Operations Command. The statement also cited the increasing concern from Russia about thousands of Russian terrorists committing criminal acts with ISIS. It was suggested that the Russia-Syria-Iran-Iraq coalition may have been devised during the visit by an Iranian commander to Moscow in July 2015. During the early days of the operation, the Russian Air Force were backed by Syrian Armed Forces, Army, the Guardians of the Islamic Revolution, and so on. So this coalition is prophesied that Iran and Russia would all come together to, and then they would eventually, this coalition is eventually going to come against Israel. That YNET article saying that it's reaching a point of no return. I mean, you know, there's Isaiah chapter 17 talks a little bit about Damascus and its destruction. So I'm going to read this. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. So that's 17:1. So it goes on to talk about how that's going to happen. So we have prophecy that says that Damascus is going to be destroyed, made into a ruinous heap. Now, Damascus is the longest continuously inhabited city in the world. It has never been uninhabited since its inception, founding. So we know that this prophecy has not been fulfilled yet. So with Iran looking to put a military base near Damascus, and Iran has stated numerous times it wants to wipe Israel off the map. So if Iran gets this base, and then they from that base they start launch attacks on Israel or assisting with Hezbollah even more, which Hezbollah has, you know, they continue to rain rockets down on Israel. So when this base is established and this Iran becomes involved in a greater way, then Israel has no choice but to take out the base and with it Damascus, because they're not going to let themselves be destroyed. I mean, Israel has an option where they, if they feel like they're being overrun by enemy forces, they have this called the Samson option, and they will just obliterate basically the whole Middle East, leave nothing, if they get to that point. But we know in the past, 1948, 67, and 72, God really protected Israel, protected his people in these wars. You know, they in 48, they were attacked by the Arabs and Arab countries, and there's no way they should have won. No way they should have even held it off, but they did because God protected his people. So you have a lot of scenarios starting to that we're missing out because we are being distracted with events in our own country. I mean, you know, this the plan of the globalists. They want to take away our rights. They want to distract us from events going on around the world that are prophetically extremely significant. So here's another opinion piece. And this one's on Al Jazeera. It says, Russia, Israel, and Iran braced for the endgame in Syria. It said, there are many indications that the war in Syria is entering a new and less vicious phase in the uneasy reconstitution of a new Syria. But I don't believe that necessarily because just things aren't looking like that. But here's Al Jazeera talking about Russia and Iran in Syria and Israel and what's going to happen there. It says Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's one-day visit to Moscow on March 9th was the latest round in the ongoing coordination established in September 2015. The summit was conducted in a very positive atmosphere. Russia's official news agency, TASS, gushed. Israeli Prime Minister hails Russia's role in fight against Islamic terror. The thing they're missing out here is there's other agendas at work, not just ISIS. You know, Russia is wanting natural gas to be pipeline to be through there. So this whole Syria thing is a ruse for power struggle within, you know, between Russia and U.S. and other countries to get natural gas pipelines through and that sort of stuff. I can research that. That's not one of my topics, and I just wanted to bring that up. It says, Netanyahu attaches great importance to reaffirming the basis for synchronization with Vladimir Putin, both operationally and diplomatically, as the conflict enters the beginning of the war's end. There's no way this war is ending yet. But, you know, it's Al Jazeera. Of course, they're going to spin it for their side, but it's interesting that they're talking about this. You know, and then also we have North Korea. Going on. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff. So here's another from the New York Post, why Iran and Israel may be on the verge of conflict in Syria. And it says, Tel Aviv, some Israelis like to go to the Golan, where from the safety of a ramp overlooking the valley, where they can watch a non-binoculars, no binoculars needed, the most consequential regional event of the age, the Syrian civil war. This week, however, the Israeli Defense Forces closed the area for visitors, letting only the local farmers, and let's see, said that's because for 3 days in a row, mortar shells flew across the border onto the Israeli-controlled side of the Golan, putting war gawkers at too much risk. Now, this article was written June 27th. So the larger concern for Israeli policymakers here is that Iran and its allied militias already in control of South Lebanon are trying to cement a beachhead in Syria, and that's exactly what's happening. Iran is attempting to establish air force and naval bases in Syria. Israel's energy minister told Israel Radio this week, it's not just Syria. IDF intelligence chief said Iran is also building arms factories in Lebanon, a country now dominated by its local proxy, Hezbollah. So here's another article from the New York Post talking about Iran trying to build bases in Syria. And Israel is not going to stand for it. See, here's an article put out October the 8th, 2017, from the Council on Foreign Relations. It says, the coming confrontation between Israel and Iran. In the United States, discussions of Iran have for the last few years been mostly about the nuclear deal negotiated by President Obama. In the Middle East, things are different. This is because while we have been debating, Iran has been acting, Israel has been reacting. Israel has struck sites in Syria 100 times in the last 5 years, bombing when it saw an Iranian effort to move high-tech material to Hezbollah in Lebanon. Last month, Israel bombed the so-called Scientific Studies and Research Center in Masyaf City in central Syria. I'll just have to excuse my pronunciations. I am from the south. A military site where chemical weapons and precision bombs were said to be produced. Now, there are reports such as this column by top Israeli military analyst, I'm not going to pronounce his name, that Iran is planning to build a military airfield near Damascus where the Revolutionary Guard could build up their presence and operate. And Iran and the Assad regime are negotiating over giving Iran its own naval pier and may actually deploy a division of soldiers in Syria. Such developments would be unacceptable to Israel and will convey this message to Russia and to the United States. Russia's defense minister will soon visit Israel, after which Israel's defense minister will visit Washington. Previous Israeli efforts to get Putin to stop Iran during Netanyahu's 4 visits to Moscow in the last year have failed, which suggests that Israel will need to do so itself alone. Unless the new Iran policy being debated inside the Trump administration leads the United States to seek ways to stop the steady expansion of Iran's military presence and influence in the Middle East, this remains to be seen. Rumors suggest that Trump administration may label the Iranian guard a terrorist group, which could open the door to using counterterrorism authorities to stop its expansion. So this is from Council on Foreign Relations for Israel. You know, nobody in the world is for Israel. Nobody wants to stand with Israel except for the United States. And we just recently, because President Trump is a firm supporter of Israel, have really stepped up our supports for them. So, you know, and it's not just Israel having issues with Iran. I mean, Trump is wanting to pull us out of the this Iran nuclear deal, and everybody's freaking out about that. I mean, just going nuts. There are certain aspects of this deal that are unenforceable and nobody wants to enforce. So Trump is like, it's a bad deal. We got to get out, renegotiate it, do something different than what it currently is. So on Monday, September the 11th of this year, says Iranian military vessel confronts U.S. warship in the Gulf as tensions rise. I mean, I'd never heard of this till I started researching for this show today. I mean, this stuff going on, and we don't hear about it because it doesn't fit the narrative of the left. It doesn't fit the narrative that the mainstream media wants to portray. It says relations have become strained between two nations after Donald Trump warned that Iranian vessels harassing the U.S. Navy in the Gulf would be shot out of the water. I love it when he just plainly speaks and he doesn't care. You know, that, and people hate that. People nowadays really would rather have an effeminate man instead of a man that stands up and stands for what he believes and is willing to put his life and put his career on the line to protect and stand for what he believes in, you know, and that's the kind of president we have, and that's what freaks people out. You know, and basically this Iranian military ship was coming to the aid, our U.S. ship was coming to the aid of an Iranian fishing boat, and then the Iranian military ship came in and basically confronted our ship and told them they better get away or there were going to be some incident happen. So, you know, Iran is not friendly. Not friendly to the U.S., friendly to our allies. And, you know, the things that are going on with Iran in Syria and then in Russia, they're all being partners. It is quite interesting that we're not hearing about this stuff, because they want to keep this quiet. They want to keep it away from us so that we don't know what's coming. They want to keep us, you know, that's kind of one of the, you know, I'll go on a little tangent here maybe for a second, but, you know, like the Common Core education curriculum Obama had implemented and all this, you know, they really want to keep the general public dumbed down, if you will. They want to keep the general public ignorant of history, of things going on. You know, that's why they're tearing down all of the Confederate statues and monuments, to erase history, to keep people ignorant of what has happened. Because if you don't know history, then you will definitely repeat it. And the Bible says even there's nothing new under the sun. So obviously history repeats itself regardless. But to wipe out history, to keep dumb, to keep us uninformed is their goal. Because they know if we're informed, we can make informed decisions. We can stop, come against, rise up against their nonsense. And they don't want that. And that this whole Las Vegas shooting, within minutes of it happening, all the left, the liberals, there's a lot of them came out and said, oh, we got to have gun control. Well, they know that they have to get rid of our guns to be able to control us. If they can't control us, they can't win. They can't have what they want, a world government. You know, we sat down, you know, my three children, I have one that's about to be 13, and he's pretty much grown up his church from the time he was, 4 or 5 years old, I guess. So really, by the time he really started being able to understand, he has been in this church, and we've been talking about Bible prophecy. We've been talking about World War III. We've been talking about the Sixth Trumpet War. We've been talking about all this stuff since 2009. And we sat down the other night, and I let him watch the show Red Dawn, the new movie. And he was just floored. He was like, wow, oh my gosh, this is really what we've been talking about. It was amazing. You could just see the light come on. And the scenario in Red Dawn, if you've not seen this, I highly recommend you seeing it, because it is North Korea. It is Russia. It's China. And who are we worried about here in the U.S. more than anything? Where are we getting all the saber rattling from? We're getting it from North Korea, you know. So, you know, we got this Red Dawn scenario where basically North Korea has control of the northern part of the West Coast, and China has, I think, control of the southern part of the West Coast and part of the East Coast, and Russia has part of the East Coast. And there's a section, they name it, and I should have pulled the clip up, but they talk about basically Alabama up through Missouri, up through the center part of the country, as being still the free United States, which I find, you know, we've had multiple people have dreams and visions, and David Wilkerson, you know, had visions of East Coast being completely on fire. We've had, you know, multiple men and women of God have dreams and visions of the East and West Coast being destroyed and that sort of thing. So when you have God speaking to godly men and women about these events, and then you have a movie like Red Dawn that actually puts into movie form what you've been seeing and been taught, then it really isn't, you know. And we just had, just the other day, General Mattis. This is a CBS article. Mattis tells Army to be ready on North Korea military options. Defense Secretary James Mattis says the U.S. Army, quote, must stand ready in the face of continued provocations by the North Korean regime. While delivering the keynote address at the Association of the U.S. Army's annual meeting on Monday, Mattis outlined the current strategy in North Korea for the U.S. military, saying, quote, it is right now diplomatically led, economic sanction, buttressed effort to try to turn North Korea off its path. He conceded, however, that, quote, neither you nor I can say what the future holds for the regime. There's one thing the U.S. Army can do, have got to be ready to ensure that we have military options that our president can employ if needed, said Mattis. So in this article, October 9th, so that was yesterday. So then we have, this is an Express UK, World War III fears. North Korea could launch nuclear bomb today to hit U.S. West Coast. This was produced, this article was written October 10th. Says, North Korea could detonate its largest ever nuclear, quote, city-busting bomb today as it ramps up its fight against the United States. CIA officials and U.S. generals are extremely concerned the Hermit Kingdom could set off a bomb or at least test another missile over the next 24 hours. They fear Kim Jong-un could choose today as its founding anniversary of North Korea's ruling Workers' Party. On Monday, they were highly concerned Kim would choose to bomb the U.S. on that day as it was Columbus Day. Russian lawmakers who returned from Pyongyang last week warned the despot leader was preparing another launch in the near future. So here we go. We've got them ready to, they're going to test another nuclear bomb. You know, we just, says here's the Sun, UK, says global threat. Why World War III could happen in 2017. This was written 5th of October of 2017. Threats from North Korea, Syria, Putin, and ISIS are worse than during the Cold War. The world could be in even more peril than the Soviet versus West face-off during the Cold War. It says, why is 2017 such a dangerous year? Throughout the year, an array of events have taken unexpected twists and turns. Let's recap. So Britain, this is a little short list. Britain voted itself out of the European Union and continues to negotiate on Brexit. There is continuing conflict in Syria with a chemical attack on civilians outraging the world. President Donald Trump then launched a U.S. Tomahawk missile strike on a regime airbase. Then there's North Korea pushing ahead with its ballistic missile tests in its bid to become a nuclear power. In response, Japan has carried out air attack drills, dished out leaflets on what to do should Kim Jong-un's nukes rain down. Kim responded by reportedly telling its giant neighbor it would be a piece, quote, piece of cake to nuke Japan and leave it blanketed in radioactive clouds. ISIS is also being expelled from its so-called caliphate, and its supporters are being encouraged to lash out with lone wolf terror attacks. The jihadist atrocities in Manchester and London Bridge were two such examples of this carnage hitting the UK alone, and top British military figures have warned how the UK has cut its forces back so much we would struggle to defend ourselves. Says tensions. Why is Syria regarded as World War III flashpoint? Okay, this is a little subheading in here. Why is Syria regarded as a World War III flashpoint? It's just what we just went over. Revelation 9, 11, verse 11 through 18. The Euphrates River is the beginning of this war. That's why Syria is regarded as a World War III flashpoint, because that's what the Bible tells us. Here it is in the news, asking the same question. Why is it? I can tell you. All you got to do is read Revelation 9. That you'll have your answer. Here's under this, why is Syria regarded as a World War III flashpoint? Last year, Putin raced to the rescue of Bashar al-Assad's regime, putting Russia on a collision course with the West. Tensions later reached boiling point when at least 7 people were gassed to death by a nerve agent in the Syrian town of, I'm pronouncing it, prompting Trump to order missile strikes. Russia and Iran said they will respond to further American military actions following the U.S. airstrikes In a joint statement, the command center for the two countries and allied groups said, "We will respond to any aggression." The statement read, "What America waged in an aggression on Syria is a crossing of red lines. From now on, we will respond with force to any aggressor or any breach of red lines from whoever it is, and America knows our ability to respond well." The U.S. blasted Iran for alarming provocations and said it poses a bigger threat of nuclear war than North Korea. Of course it does, because this war has to start here, not North Korea. Start here first. Now, that's not to say when this starts that North Korea doesn't jump in based on their relationship with Russia and China. And said, here's another subheading, will ISIS start a world war? You know, they're in the Middle East. As ISIS flees their strongholds in Syria and Iraq, they have the potential to embark on a world terror campaign with security chiefs fearing lone wolf attacks. About 850 people from Britain and Northern Ireland have traveled in support of ISIS, and they have now returned. And then here it says, is North Korea really a threat to world peace? According to a regime defector, the North Korean leader's New Year's resolution was to make his nation a fully fledged nuclear power. So far, the North has conducted 9 missile tests during 2017. Here we go. You know, we got the Sun UK talking about Syria being a flashpoint for World War III to begin. And that's what the Bible tells us. And how many of you have heard of this? All this information going on. How many of you know that things have progressed the way they have? I didn't. And I try to keep up. But obviously I'm not doing a good job. So this was Tuesday, 25th of April, 2017. Donald Trump summons entire U.S. Senate top-level White House briefing on North Korea. So this was a show of force by Donald Trump, President Trump, to try to get North Korea to back down. And then, right before we came on the air, you know, oh, here's one other little article I'll share with you right quick, at least the headlines. It's from Reuters. It says, Iran hardliners and pragmatists show unity in response to Trump. So, because Donald Trump, the hardliners and the people that really are don't want anything, don't want war, don't care too much, they're coming together, voicing their dislike for President Trump, and they're all for, they're nationalists. They're being for their country, which I would expect anyone for their country over another country anyway. But we get criticized here in the U.S. for loving the United States over other countries and over the UN. So, let's see if it'll pull up. Let me find it. Yep. Okay. This came across just right before we came on the air, so that's why I'm reading it off my phone. It says, U.S. offers millions for Hezbollah terrorists suspected of planning attack on U.S. soil. Says officials within U.S. State Department have U.S. State Department reveals estimations that 2 Hezbollah operatives are planning to carry out terrorist attack within the U.S. State Department offering $7 million for one capture and $5 million for the other. An official within the U.S. State Department stated on Tuesday that the U.S. believes that 2 operatives of the Lebanese-based terror group Hezbollah are planning to carry out a terrorist attack within the U.S. One of these suspects is Talal Hamaya, who is a U.S. State Department wanted on the wanted list as a top Hezbollah military figure heading its external security organization. With cells around the world, the State Department is offering $7 million for his capture. The other Hezbollah operative is Fuad Shukr, I don't know, whom the U.S. believes played a central role in the planning and executing of the October 23, 1983 U.S. Marine Corps barracks bombing in Beirut, Lebanon, was killed 241 U.S. service personnel. It is offering $5 million for his capture. It says, in June, U.S. federal authorities stated that they had arrested a man in Michigan and another in New York planning on carrying out terrorism attack on U.S. and Israeli targets in New York and Panama. Samir L. Dabik of Dearborn, Michigan, was arrested first in Livonia, Michigan, while Ali Kurani was arrested in the Bronx. Both men are being held in New York City. In a statement, authorities said the men tried to provide support to Hezbollah's Islamic Jihad organization after receiving military training from the group. Authorities added that El Dabrak had allegedly looked for potential targets in Panama, while Karani surveilled American targets, including military and law enforcement facilities in New York. Early on Tuesday, Defense Minister Lieberman addressed the idea of soldiers during a celebratory event marking the festival of the Sukkot. We have to prepare for every scenario. The new reality poses new challenges for us. If once spoke about the Lebanese area, now there is no longer such an area. There is only the northern area, Lieberman said. So, you know, it's Hezbollah, you know, wanting to plan and take out terror attacks on the U.S. soil. You know, and I pulled up a few more articles. I just went to Debka. I started looking a little bit into Jared Kushner and what his role is playing in this, because you don't really hear anything about him. And, you know, here's a little article from Fortune.com. This article was from August the 11th, 2017. The title, President Trump sends Jared Kushner to Israel to help broker a peace deal. And that's Kushner's job right now, is to get this ultimate deal, as President Trump calls it, in place. So here's a little bit from that article. It's by Bloomberg. President Donald Trump is dispatching a team led by his son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner to Israel in pursuit of a Middle East peace deal. Trump's sending the delegation to try to take advantage of a period of relative calm following violent clashes last month over Israeli security arrangements at the Jerusalem shrine known to the Jews as Temple Mount and to Muslims as Haram al-Sharif, said a senior administration official. So basically, Kushner went over. He met with Benjamin Netanyahu, met with Israeli people, and he went over and visited with a boss, a Palestinian Authority leader, trying to get this peace deal pushed through. That on Debka said, here's a article, Israel asks U.S. to plumb real motive behind Sisi-sponsored Palestinian talks. So basically, the Egyptian president now has taken it upon himself. This is October 9, 2017 article. Israel was startled by the Egyptian president's comments that the Palestinian reconciliation process he is brokering would lead peace with Israel. I guess they would be shocked since they thought the U.S. was trying to broker this deal. Abdel Fattah el-Sisi put it this way in an interview on Sunday, October the 8th. The Egyptian moves aimed at helping the Palestinian brothers to start a new stage of unity of the Palestinian ranks would pave the way for a just peace between Palestine and Israel. He defined his goal as being the establishment of an independent Palestinian state to meet the legitimate aspirations for a secure, stable, and prosperous life. El-Sisi added no further details, but he said enough to finally rattle the Netanyahu government. So here we are. We have Egypt trying to broker a peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis. Telling y'all, this stuff is crazy. You know, so
we've been distracted by all this going on around us. And there's so much stuff going on in the world that the mainstream media is obviously not going to report on. So it's up to us as Bible-believing Christians to seek out the truth, seek out news and current events that are going on around us that aren't, we're not being told about. And this war that is going to start in the Euphrates River area, it's no joke. I mean, talking about one man being killed because of this war. So if the conflict is about to reach a point of no return between Israel and Iran in Syria, then what can we expect in the days ahead? I mean, you know, Bible prophecy says that Israel is given the wings of a great eagle, which we believe is the United States, and that bears out in Bible prophecy, to help protect her. So with President Trump being our president, I definitely see the United States stepping in and helping Israel, as we should. I mean, Israel is God, Jews, they're God's people. He has not forsaken them. They are still his people. He will still protect them. And there will be a great end time harvest of the Jews that will turn to their Messiah. And it's up to us Christians now to really pray for Israel. We should be praying for Israel every day. We should be praying for our president every day. You know, we don't need to wait until this war breaks out to go, oh, I need to get my life right with God. That is not the time to be doing that. Now is the time to get your life right, to turn to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and really repent, repent, repent. Repentance is turning a 180-degree turn and walking the other direction. When you break up with the devil, you give him his stuff back. When you repent, you turn the other way. You stop what you're doing, and you go towards Jesus. You walk away from it all. If that means walking away from friends and family and jobs to follow Jesus, that's what you should do. Your eternal life is much more important than anything that you could possibly hold on to here in this world. We are here only for a short time compared to eternity. So I implore you to keep a check on what's going on around the world, to turn to Jesus today before it's too late. I mean, there's no way you can guarantee yourself time to repent, to call the name of Jesus. I mean, those people in Las Vegas that were killed, now I know there's some people out there, and some of you may be saying, oh, it was just all stage actors or whatever. I'm not going to discuss that. You know, people were killed, and they did not expect it to come. So they are spending eternity somewhere. You know, there's a lot of people that want to wait till, oh, if I have a car wreck, I can cry out to Jesus. And no, you can't. That will not be what goes through your mind. You need to make sure now You need to call out to Jesus now. Get down on your face. Call out to Jesus. Repent. Turn from your sin. And let Jesus be your Lord above all. Not just your friend, but your Lord, your King. Because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when he comes back for the millennial reign, he will rule with a rod of iron. Let's say you make it through the tribulation. You make it through to the end. You make it through to Jesus' second coming. Are you going to wait till then? Do you want to chance you being here for that time? One third of mankind being destroyed, being killed in this war that has the potential to start at any time in the near future, especially if Israel and Iran are almost to the point of no return for what's going on over there. So I implore you, don't wait. Study. Get into the Word. Look at Bible prophecy. Go to deanodal.org. Go to fireandgracechurch.org. Look us up on iTunes. Find the messages. Listen and watch. You know, we're having lots of people contacting our ministry saying thank you. Thank you for preaching what you preach, teaching what you preach, teaching what you teach. It's helped me turn to God. It's helped me turn my life around. It's helped me. If you have questions about the trumpets, the seals and the trumpets, there's teachings on our website, on iTunes, on these things. There's videos on truegod.tv that for our conferences that we put on where we go into the Antichrist revealed, the seals and trumpets of Revelation. There's teachings out there. If you have questions and want to know kind of where we are and what has happened already, first through five trumpets have already sounded, and we are now waiting on the sixth. Look these things up. Study them. Get ready physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually most of all, to face what is coming. Because we just don't know. We're not putting any time frames or timetables on any of these events. We just know they're coming. Tells us they're coming, and then we have news articles that show us where they are possibly coming in the very near future. So don't wait. Get right with God. Call on Jesus. Make him Lord of your life. And watch and pray. Because there's a lot of people going to be needing you. They're going to be needing your witness. They're going to be needing what you went through to help them get through. I think that's why we all go through stuff. So we can minister to other people the things we have gone through. So I encourage you. We just thank you for tonight. I hope this has kind of helped you see where we've been distracted, the things that are going on that we're not being told. And I'm sure there's stuff I know without a shadow of a doubt, there's stuff I missed. You just can't get it all. So I encourage you to share with us things that you've seen, things, distractions going on, things that are going on in the world that are leading us closer and closer to this sixth trumpet war. Share with us. Email us. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, our websites. We just thank you. Y'all have a safe week. We'll be back here Sunday morning as long as the internet is up. I just can't even begin to believe that two Sundays in a row, the whole eastern half of the country was having internet issues with Charter Cable. and Spectrum Cable, I guess, what it is now. So these messages, they are, the videos are up on YouTube and Facebook from the past two Sundays. They're up. Check them out. Be with us Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. And we just, y'all be blessed. Well, I'm going to try to get out of here. And y'all have a good night.
Listening to Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.